Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the Senate hearing considering the Time Warner Comcast mega merger and get an assessment of whether monopoly power will trump citizen and consumer opposition from Michael Copps, an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011, who now heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. We will discuss this test case of hypocrisy that exposes champions of the free market in support of monopoly capitalism and see if consumers will stand up to monopolies and force their elected representatives who receive campaign cash from Time Warner and Comcast to act in the interests of their constituents instead of serving their paymasters. Then we will speak with Pulitzer Prize-winning New York Times reporter Carlotta Gall, the author of a devastating new book, The Wrong Enemy, America in Afghanistan 2001 to 2014. We will examine her revelations that the head of Pakistan's military intelligence, General Pasha, knew of bin Laden's presence in Pakistan and examine the decades of duplicity by an ally responsible for the deaths of thousands of American and NATO soldiers and the disastrous and dysfunctional relationship the U.S. has with our other so-called ally, the Afghan president, who Obama inherited from Bush, but nevertheless Karzai was allowed to win the rigged 2009 election after having lost the first round. Then finally, we'll look into what is going on behind the scenes at the UN, since the U.S. Senate and now the House have voted overwhelmingly to deny an Iranian diplomat his seat at the UN representing Iran, an appointment the White House has labeled not viable. Former New York Times UN correspondent Barbara Crosset, who now covers the United Nations and writes on international affairs for The Nation, joins us to discuss whether this will lead to the State Department denying Ambassador Abdutalibi a visa to enter this country, a move likely to complicate nuclear negotiations underway and undercut Iran's President Rouhani's authority, since Rouhani is close to this diplomat who has already served as Iran's ambassador to Belgium, the European Union, Italy, and Australia. Joining us now is Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011 and currently heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. Welcome to Background Briefing, Michael Copps.
Delighted to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
And yesterday there was a hearing before the Senate on the Comcast-Time Warner merger, and it's pretty hard to believe that the Senate could approve this merger given the rather lame presentation on the part of Comcast. All they can basically say in terms of improving customer service and consumer advantages, all they could say is that they'll have better DVRs. But on the other side, you had 50,000 complaints made to the Federal Trade Commission describing their experiences with the company, particularly Comcast, as being frustrating and nightmarish. You have the consumer magazine, The Consumerist, which is a publication of the Consumer Reports, declaring Comcast the worst company in America. And then you have over 600,000 people having already signed petitions against this merger. So at the end of the day, Michael Copps, will the voices of consumers and citizens be loud enough to overcome the almost record spending and lobbying spending of Comcast on Capitol Hill? Apparently they've spent over $20 million on lobbyists just recently, making them just below Northrop Grumman as the biggest spenders in lobbying on Capitol Hill?
Well, therein is the question, and the answer depends upon how much the Federal Communications Commission hears from people around the country. This is a deal that I believe runs roughshod over consumer choice. It runs roughshod over competition. And it's an affront to the public interest. I think it should have been dead upon arrival. Now, it arrived day before yesterday at the doors of the Department of Justice and the Federal Communications Commission. These are the two agencies that must approve the transaction going forward. The Department of Justice will look at it on antitrust grounds. The Federal Communications will look at it somewhat on competitive grounds, but more importantly on public interest grounds. But how anybody can argue that this deal is in the interest of the American people is beyond me, and you're so right in pointing out that here we're taking two companies that are nowhere near the top of the list of consumer preference and consumer choice, and allowing them to get bigger and control even more of our communications infrastructure. And this isn't just about technology or business plans or even about two companies. This is a merger that will affect the future of the open internet, the future of our democratic dialogue. It's a big time deal, and it cries out to be rejected in my book.
Well, it does appear to be crossing ideological lines in terms of the opposition to this deal. When was the last time that you ever heard that MoveOn.org, Demand Progress, and the National Organization of Women were on the same page and in agreement with the American Family Association, Tea Party Nation, and the U.S. Business and Industry Council?
Well, you know, it can happen, and that's what gives me some optimism here. Back in 2003, shortly after I became a commissioner at the FCC, then Chairman Michael Powell was trying to loosen our media ownership limits so that a very few companies could own more and more broadcast outlets. And I think he and his majority at the commission thought this was just an inside-the-beltway issue. But we went around the country, my Democratic colleague Jonathan Adelstein and myself, talked to people, worked with groups like Common Cause and Free Press and senators and congressmen who opposed those deals, and 3 million people thereupon wrote in to the FCC and to Congress, and the Senate proceeded to disapprove of those rules, reject those rules, overturn them, and the House disapproved in somewhat different language, and then the court sent them back anyhow. But it does show that citizen action can still make a difference. And as we went around the country, it was clear to me this was not a red state and a blue state issue out amongst average Americans. In Washington, these things can get pretty politicized. But back then, we had liberal groups and conservative groups supporting us against Chairman Powell, and that worked, and I think that can work again here. I certainly hope so, but it's a steep cliff. It's an uphill battle because these are powerful, well-entrenched, and well-financed companies.
Well, while you and your colleague Adelstein were going around the country talking to people and getting feedback from consumers and citizens, Chairman Powell was flying around in Time Warner's jet. And my sense is that it was his decision as chairman of the FCC that basically was the fatal one, and I know you opposed it, and that is how the FCC classified broadband.
Absolutely, and this is an issue that gets very quickly in the weeds, but just to make a long and complicated story as simple as I can, to me, and I think to most right-thinking people at the time, broadband is an advanced telecommunication service, and advanced telecommunication services generally are regulated in something called Title II of the Communications Act. What the Powell Commission proceeded to do was to put cable modem and then later on telecom Internet II under a different part of the statute, Title I, where there were no guaranteed consumer protections. There were no guarantees of reasonable and comparable services and reasonable prices and emergency calling and public safety and all of that. So they call broadband something other than telecommunications when it wasn't. And that put us on a really awful course that we're still suffering from today.
Well, yesterday NPR had a very softball interview with Michael Powell asking about what happened back then and why it was that the U.S. took this path that has led to monopolies. But at the time, Michael Powell was arguing that this would lead to competition. And it's clearly had the result of the reverse, because this merger will basically give this new company, Time Warner Comcast, a monopoly over about up. It could grow up very quickly up to 50% of all American consumers. And it was pretty shocking how now Michael Powell, of course, is a lobbyist for these very same cable companies.
That's the revolving door of Washington D.C.
Well, so in other words, the way to stop the revolving door is for citizens to get so angered that they're going to jam their foot in the door, right?
Well, it is. And let me just add, you know, on this argument about competition, it's just so ludicrous to me that these companies can say, well, this is not anti-competitive because we're not competing against one another in specific markets. But what's at issue here is you're taking the huge footprint of Comcast, which is distribution and content. It's broadband and broadcast because they, you know, they own NBC Universal. It's horizontal and vertical control, and you're taking this from a huge part of the country where it already exists and implanting it on another huge part of the country. How that can be deemed pro-competitive in anybody's book is simply beyond my ability to understand.
Again, I'm speaking with Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011 and currently heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. So at least the Senate got an earful from consumers and from competitors. There was a fellow representing a Golf Channel that can't get his channel on because basically these monopolies can write the rules of the road, and unless you can pay them a fortune, you're not going to get your channel in their mix, or you're not going to get your program on their channels. And that we saw here in recently this spat between Time Warner and CBS, which was a sort of inside corporate boardroom brinksmanship. They didn't give a damn about the consumer. They just kept fighting it out in this kind of nose-to-nose, you know, corporate tough guy battle. And, you know, they lost a lot of customers as a result. But the arrogance of these people was that the last person they cared about was the consumer, who was suddenly shut out. They didn't offer any compensation for the fact that you couldn't get people who watch CBS couldn't get their favorite shows, and they only came back on when the football games began.
Right. You know. But I want your listeners to really understand what a steep climb this is, because we are talking here, as you indicated at the outset, about a company with vast resources to amass armies of lobbyists and lawyers and spend wheelbarrows full of money on getting what they want. And this is an era that we live in, as I don't have to tell you, where special interests and big money control power almost unparalleled in our history, going back to the Gilded Age of the 1880s and the 1890s. So to counteract that and to overcome that is going to be a tremendous doing. We have a lot of the public interest groups here in Washington, D.C. and around the country who are against the deal. They are doing their dead level best to make their opposition felt and to build public support for it. But I think that people really, if they feel strongly about this, and I hope they do, they really need to make their voices heard. We have a new chairman at the Federal Communications Commission, and I think he really needs to know how the American people feel about this particular merger.
Well, it would seem that Al Franken's got a petition going, and there's also this other petition that has gotten 500,000 signatures so far. Mm-hmm. So there are places to go. What would your recommendation be to some of our outraged listeners out there who basically want to stop this monopoly from giving even more expensive and even worse service?
Well, I think the best place to start is to let the Federal Communications Commission know how they feel. The commission isn't supposed to be a weather vane and pass something just because they get letters for it, but in point of fact, in the real world in which we live, they're supposed to be listening to the American people. Goodness knows the big companies and the special interests have a pretty easy entree into the commission. I think the commission is doing a better job now than it has sometimes in the past in listening to people, but this has to be a good and forceful message so that the commission understands this is something that is important to people. This is something that, if approved, will harm consumers and harm competition. And because it involves not just cable, but it involves the future of the Internet, because you're talking about this huge broadband distributor, it is really important. If you want to cableize the Internet, who better to do it than the biggest cable country in the United States of America? But I think most people don't want an Internet that looks like their cable system. I think they want to have open access, and they don't want companies with the power to gatekeep and to exact high tolls and to block content and all the rest. But that seems to be the way we're heading with the Internet right now.
Well, Michael Copps, what was disturbing about this hearing yesterday in the Senate, even though the representative from Comcast, Mr. Cohen, really took a drubbing, and people were pointing out that there's one instance where somebody witnessed a crime across the street but couldn't call the police because their Comcast phone doesn't work. And they were even told by the Comcast technician that, forget about our phone service, it just doesn't work. You know, I mean, when you got that one pipe into your house, you don't have any choice, obviously. So he takes a drubbing, but then at the end of this hearing, after Senator Al Franken had walked out and he'd finished his testimony, Cohen, got up from his witness chair and went across and started glad-handing members and staffers of the Senate Judiciary Committee, where it was all sort of cozy and hunky-dory all of a sudden. So there's the disconnect there. And is it possible then that the fact that it's not just people on the left and liberals and progressives that are outraged by this, but the fact that sort of Tea Party people and pro-business, but more conservative and right-wing organizations also oppose it, do you think that's a good tactic, that maybe some of the Republicans who support it and some of the Democrats who support it in the name of this false belief in competition will be shamed by the fact that this is against all of the tenets of capitalism and competition that they continually promote? And, you know, it's basically a monopoly and an arrogant and dismissive one at that.
Yeah, well, I think you mentioned the disconnect. I think in another way it shows the connect between these special interests and the powers that be. But Mr. Cohen is a very effective representative of this company, a very effective lobbyist. I hope that this kind of a coalition can be built. As I said, I think around the country it's not a Republican, Democrat, conservative, liberal deal. But what's, in this country we decided long ago, for better or not, that communications, broadcast, and all the rest was going to be very much a part of the capitalist system. And we all expect that good business people will work to build their companies and to gain power. But what we don't believe in, certainly for the last 100 years, is the fact that you can let somebody achieve monopoly power and then be bereft of public oversight and be bereft of regulation. But that's what these big companies, that's what Comcast and Verizon and AT&T, and I think increasingly even some of the companies on the Internet itself, are going. This is the kind of world they're working for, and they're having a lot of success, not just at the federal level, but at the state level right now. You know, these companies have gone around. There are now 20 states where you can't build, or it's very difficult to build, a municipal broadband system. Even if the big companies don't want to come in and serve a community that might be trying to get this all-important 21st century infrastructure built, they get laws passed in the state capitals that preclude that. And that's all kind of underneath the radar, because we don't have the kind of deep-dive journalism we used to have and investigative reporting. And all of a sudden we wake up one morning and find that, lo and behold, people can't build their own broadband when the big companies don't want them to. So it's a serious, serious problem. This is the essential infrastructure of the 21st century. If we're all going to find jobs and educate ourselves and take care of our health and open wider the doors of opportunity, should be a golden age of communications right now. Instead, because of all of this consolidation that we've had over the years, and also because of the, I think, dereliction of duty of the Federal Communications Commission for many, many years, particularly 2001 up through 2008, we're headed in the wrong direction, and we've got to make sure now that this new commission, and it has it hadn't done such a great job from 2009 up until now on some of these questions, open internet and media consolidation. We got to get that agency back attending to the public interest. That's supposed to be its job.
Well, Michael Powell, I think, God, what a mental slip. Well, Michael Copps, I thank you very much for joining us.
I'm delighted to be on, and thank you for covering this very important issue.
And again, I've been speaking with Michael Copps, who was an FCC commissioner from 2001 to 2011, and he currently heads the Media and Democracy Reform Initiative at Common Cause. We're going to take a brief station break, and we'll be back talking with the former UN correspondent for The New York Times, Barbara Crosset, about the unviable Iranian ambassador who the House and Senate are blocking, and the president might well sign a bill that will create a tremendous division between the U.S. and Iran.